good.
Nick Wells, the Managing Chief Executive Officer, I should say, of TNT Post. Thanks very much for joining us. Well, with increasing competition in the postal delivery industry, is the universal service obligation on the rail still necessary? Is the part privatised company being hamstrung by regulation? We did, of course, ask to speak to Royal Mail this lunchtime. They declined to give us an interview, but I am joined by Martin Stanley, former Chief Executive of Postcom, which was the previous regulator. And Stephen Gibson was Chief Economist there and is now at SLG Economics. Stephen Gibson, do you think the universal service obligation is running out of time?
I think we have to look at what we need our postal services to deliver now. The universal service was set up in the 70s and 80s at a time when post was the primary and, in many cases, in the early stage, the only method of communications. Now we have a system whereby we have a plethora of different opportunities, and we should be thinking about reshaping the universal service obligation, looking forward, not immediately, but looking forward. We should start that conversation to think about how it might develop.
Martin Stanley.
I think that the universal service is hugely valued by the population, and I see no reason whatsoever to detract from it at the moment. I think I agree with a lot of what Nick Wells said, which is to ask questions, how is it that Royal Mail can be undercut in cities when they have the volume and the experience and they don't charge VAT? I think Royal Mail are shroud-waving, to be honest, when they talk about damaging the universal service.
Stephen, just on your idea of how that might work, what sort of changes do you think are feasible? Because given what Martin was saying, there's a great emotional attachment, if nothing else, to the idea that the delivery van or the postman on his bike or on foot or on her foot can actually come up to your doorstep wherever you live, any part of the country.
Absolutely. And I'm not suggesting that we cut off rural areas from postal deliveries. What I'm suggesting is we have now a gold-plated service. We have 6 days a week, every day, with 92% first-class quality of service.
And why shouldn't we?
Well, because the market is not requiring it anymore. The market doesn't want to pay for it. Royal Mail is coming into problems, not just because it has competition in mails, but as Nick said, because it is losing 5 to 8% of its volume every year to digital substitution, to online, to emails, to texts, etc. And when you lose every 4 years a quarter of your business, you have to think about what is the business model supposed to be looking like.
Are we, in a sense, Martin Stanley, haven't we hamstrung, I should say, you as a former regulator, but I guess government as well, because it sets the rules, hamstrung Royal Mail, if it's going to survive, by imposing this requirement on it?
I don't think the cost of delivering to a fairly small proportion of rural addresses is the problem. Royal Mail keep threatening that area because it attracts headlines. The real issues are in the city centres, where Nick Wells and his team are competing very, very well with Royal Mail. But to be fair to Royal Mail, I don't think TNT offer a re-delivery service when you move. It's not easy to return to sender using TNT. Misaddressed mail, what do you do with it? So I think there are issues.
I say Nick Wells is sitting here in the studio and slightly disagreeing with you on that. I'm not going to give him a chance to come back in, I'm afraid, but he's made his point for saying that they do provide other services. But just on the kind of practicalities of this, Stephen, isn't there a bit of a paradox that all the technology is moving one way, yet we want to hold on to this, but the people who are best served by these other ways of getting communication aren't the people who live in the remote areas. They're the people who live in the city centres where, let's say, broadband is better. They might rather ping emails backwards and forwards than relying on the letter post.
Yeah, I mean, there is an issue that the market is developing and the market is changing. And I think we have to allow Royal Mail some flexibility. I'm not saying we cut off the service, but we think about whether we still need to deliver 6 days a week to areas where they're getting very, very small numbers of letters, where Royal Mail could, many of the customer requirements could be met by, let's say, 5 or 4 days a week. You know, let's take a leaf out of the book in the Channel Islands, where they've reduced their obligation from 6 days to 5 days. And as a result, the postal service has become more financially sustainable. It has a much more a longer-term credibility in terms of its business. And I think that's just what we should be having that conversation about.
Let me ask you finally, Martin Stanley, do you think the public could be persuaded to see changes in the universal service obligation, either in the way that Stephen had suggested, or perhaps alternatively, be persuaded that if they want to keep it, they're going to have to pay more?
I think that there may be changes that might be possible, given a lot of consultation. But we do depend, although most of our mail is low urgency and low importance, we do sometimes need the Royal Mail to deliver other stuff fast and effectively and efficiently. And I don't think we can let them off that obligation.
OK, let me just bring back in Nick Wells from TNT Post, who's stayed to listen to this discussion. Do you think the universal service obligation is something that can survive long term?
I think that depends on the way the postal market and the trends develop. But of course, the universal service is shrouded in the Postal Services Act, and that's guaranteed for the several more years. And I think the best way to deliver continued services for our consumers is providing an efficient postal service with choice and competition that will stimulate and innovate.
Nick Wells, Chief Executive of TNT Post, Martin Stanley, former Chief Executive of Postcom, that used to be the regulator, and Stephen Gibson from SLG Economics. Thank you all very much for joining us this lunchtime. I know that's a debate that's going to continue.